You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And welcome back, folks, to another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider. You know, the offseason tends to make it so it's a little more sporadic. Right, you call it sporadic. Like, you know, there has to be a happening, a moment, an event that brings us to the table as we head towards a season where Michigan is expected to be one of the top teams in the country. Of course, even if there was no reason to talk, you know, as far as a moment, an event happening, any excuse to talk to my guy Tim McCormick is a good one as far as I'm concerned. My good friend, former Michigan basketball standout, first round draft pick, NBA and college basketball analyst, NBA Player Association member, and, you know, running the camp there for years, just doing a great job all the way around. And proud to say the reason for this podcast coming into existence, Tim McCormick. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Sam. And trust me, I cannot emphasize enough how much I loved watching practice on Saturday morning prior to the Northern Illinois game. Look, I get it. It's official practice in 3 weeks. So this is like skill development and camaraderie building. First game's not till early November, but I was elated to watch the team work out. First off, thanks to Juwan. I know that practices have been closed to outsiders. I have not been in Chrysler for 18 months. And the enthusiasm level of the players, the coaches, the managers, everybody was so electric.
All right. So, Tim, you got me anxiously anticipating all the things that you saw. Let's start off first, though, with broad brush. We'll broad brush and then we'll get specific. So you sat through this practice. You came out. Your biggest takeaway was what?
Well, first of all, the early scrimmages are an opportunity to help the young guys. I saw the transformation of the bodies. That was so evident. Kudos to John Sanderson. Hunter Dickinson looked like a physical specimen. As a freshman, you saw it. He looked like a lumberjack. He was big and strong, a little bit high in the body fat content. Man, he looked like he really worked on his body and his perimeter shooting. I love, love, love Devontae Jones. First time seeing him in person. The guy can really shoot it. He's got an elite handle. A lot to share about him as well. And most important, the excitement by the players was off the charts. And I can remember being a freshman at Michigan, how thrilled I was to wear my practice gear and rep the University of Michigan and to walk across campus and, you know, go to my first football game and tailgate with my new teammates. And when you think about it, this is a new experience for almost all of Michigan's players, because think about the sophomore class. They're not really sophomores because this is the first time that they've ever been normal college students, right? They can now actually go sit in a classroom with their friends. They can walk across the diag and high five basketball fans and meet new people. And so I sensed a real pride and joy by the players. And then the practice itself, it wasn't really the full practice. There was no scrimmage. There was no half-court one-on-one. Really no contact. It was 100% skill development, a ton of shooting. It was crisp and energetic. The culture was really easy to see. The guys were loud and they had fun. And most important, the 14 guys that legitimately feel like they can compete for minutes this year, 11 of them are full-time students for the first time. And so not only being the student athlete, but you could see that Juwan was emphasizing the fundamentals because they are so incredibly young. He was teaching the speed that you need to play if you're going to be an up-tempo defense-oriented team. A lot of footwork in the screen game, shot readiness, hands up, quick release, all of that. It was just a fun, extremely athletic practice, and I can see that this Michigan team is going to be really fast.
All right, so I'm most interested first in starting off with your observations about Hunter Dickinson. You talked about his body. That was one of the things that you said heading into the offseason. I'm talking to Hunter Dickinson about improvements that he needs to make. He needs to have his body in better shape. Can he go 30-plus in a game, not be winded? Can he be at that kind of conditioning level? Sounds like he is on track to be able to do that. The other thing that you talked about from a skill standpoint, I mean, can he score over both shoulders? We saw as they got deeper into the season, they started, the scout caught up, and it got a little, the row got a little tougher to hoe as you got deeper into conference play and then into the postseason. So since you watched a lot of skill development, was that a focus? Was that an emphasis as you watched him? Did you see any progress along those lines?
Well, I didn't see him work over his left shoulder. And that's something that I'm anxious to see in the next practice I check out. Sam, I think he grew. As hard as it is to judge that, because I typically don't spend much time with people that are taller than me. He looked like he was 7'2", and he also looked like he lost weight. And what he learned from the draft combine process is that the NBA wants to see guys that can shoot a little bit better from the perimeter, but I think that his pick and roll game is going to be something that they're going to watch close. And I said this earlier on our podcast when he was a guest. I said that I thought that Hunter would play at Michigan for 3 or 4 years. You remember that, right?
I do.
I changed my mind. I no longer think that way. I know how bad he wants to be in the NBA. That's his goal, and I think that's a really positive thing. You want guys on your team that are not satisfied just being college players. And if he leads Michigan to back-to-back Big Ten titles and Final Fours, you know, take your NBA shot. And so we had a nice chat at the tailgate after practice. He's cut out carbs. I asked him about, you know, how did you change your body? He obviously lifted a lot. But he cut those carbs and he's worked on his conditioning, and he looks to me like he's lost 10 pounds and redistributed his weight. He's in really good shape. His elevation was good. And I think he's going to love having Caleb Houston spotted up on the weak side. He's going to love Devontae Jones cutting down the lane. He's going to get a lot more space and freedom this year because he's surrounded by better players. Now, I did watch him really close with his 3-point shooting. It looked better, but it's still not a strength. I would think, based on the fact that you know, he's come back and he's going to be a focal point, maybe he takes one a game and just kind of monitor how he's doing with it. But I think Hunter Dickinson, he was an All-American last year. He's going to be an All-American this year.
Yeah, man. I remember us having that conversation, Tim, and I was like, man, I mean, I want Hunter to go when he wants to go. I don't want to be selfish and say, I hope Tim is right that he's a 3 or 4 year guy, because I don't want to wish that into existence as if that has an effect, right? But I always thought, man, this is the way he's talking, one last dance and one last ride and that kind of thing. It just made me think that because he was so intentional about it, so focused about it, that he would put the kind of work in necessary to advance himself to the point of being able to do that. So I got to ask you real quick one more. Andy Katz came out with his top 5 returning players in college basketball. He had Johnny Juzang number 1. He had Drew Timmy number 2. He had Kofi Coburn number 3. Hunter Dickinson 4. And Trace Jackson Davis 5. Do you think Hunter is top 5 when it comes to just returning college players, not top 5 draft talent, but top 5 returning players in college basketball? And would you put him behind Kofi Coburn on that list?
So it's a really interesting question. And I was reading Athlon Preseason Magazine, and they had Hunter Dickinson at number 17. And the crazy thing about it is Kofi Coburn, Trace Jackson Davis, EJ Liddell, Travion Williams, the question could be, in Athlon's mind, is he one of the 5 best players in the entire Big Ten? Mm-hmm. I thought that was really, really low. But ironically, this will get you excited, top 25, Michigan had Hunter Dickinson at 17 and Devontae Jones in the top 25 at 25. That was really impressive to me as well.
Wow, someone has some scouts on the payroll, right? So I know going back to the process of Michigan sort of finding a replacement, another point guard, where are they going to go? Are they going to find it on the recruiting trail? Are they going to find it in the portal? If they find it in the portal, what kind of guy is it going to be? Is it going to be a guy early in his career looking for another opportunity, or is it going to be a grad transfer type? And you were really, really focused on the latter, a guy who had played some, maybe at a lower level, looking to go step up, maybe at a place like Michigan to increase his draft profile and prospects. And you, in retrospect, you said knew about Devontae Jones. I know you liked him coming in, but it sounds like now that you've seen him, you like him even more.
I do. And, you know, I was most enthused to watch Jones over anybody else on Saturday. Hunter's the most important player. He's an All-American. But number two is Jones. And here's why. We know what Eli Brooks will bring. He's a captain, a leader. He's reliable, durable. He's going to be great. And Sam, make sure we circle back and talk about Eli too, okay? So just keep that on your radar. But back to Jones. He needs help. You're talking about Eli, and if you're looking for the perfect compliment, it's Devontae Jones. I think he's going to be a surprise player. I think he can be an all Big Ten guard. Yeah, yep, I said it. Okay, I think he can be all Big Ten. And if you look around the conference, who's the best point guard? You know, Marcus Carr is gone. Dwayne Washington's in the NBA. There are some good players. I like Geo Baker at Rutgers. I like Eric Ayala at Maryland. You know who's going to be really good, and it's a similar type of player, is Tyson Walker, who played at Northeastern, and he's going to be at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Eric Hunter, Purdue. I mean, there's some good players, but is there anybody out there that you say, oh, he's definitely 100% better than Devontae Jones? I don't see it. Have I missed anybody?
No, you haven't. You haven't. None of those. I mean, Geo Baker would be the guy of the returning guys that I would look to the most, but mm-hmm. I'll always wonder about his jump shot. Tyson Walker is intriguing to me. I think he's very, very versatile. I wonder how quick his transition will be with Tom Izzo. That would be my question. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I just wonder how quick it would be. We've seen guys under Juwan make very, very quick transitions, right, and be very, very effective, which is why if someone were to challenge this argument or this assertion that, hey, man, if I'm looking at these transfers, Devontae Jones and Tyson Walker, I'm saying Devontae Jones, one of the aspects to that, one of the factors in that would be, well, look at what Juwan just did with Shaundi Brown and with Mike Smith. Yep. Yeah, look at what he just did with those guys and how quickly they assimilated into the collective. That's reason to believe that he'd be able to do it all over again with a guy that was a high-level player down there at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, very, very well said. And I think that Juwan Howard's system is more ready-made for a freshman or for a transfer coming in. Tom Izzo runs a ton of sets, and it's a little bit more complicated. I think that Devontae Jones is really ready to step in and play great. Here's what I saw from Jones. Low dribbler, nice handle, superb quickness. His shooting is better, way, way, way better than I thought. When you watch him on tape, it's easy to get fooled. You know, I've studied his three during the three-minute shooting drill that they have, where guys just shoot rapid fire for three straight minutes, and you see who gets the most. I think Adrian Nunez had the most, which he's very impressive shooting the ball. We knew that. But Devontae Jones was right up there. And I watched every one of his shots, and he was incredibly consistent with his release. Somebody did a really good job with him when he's young. The release was really, really consistent. I also thought he was a very good leader. Even though he's new to the program, he wasn't afraid to share with the freshmen. He was pulling them aside. And the guy I'm anxious to watch in the future is Frankie Collins. As a first-year player, what a huge opportunity to go head-to-head and watch and learn every day from Eli Brooks, who's 22 years old, and Devontae Jones is 23. That's a great asset for a young guy. And then finally, I think Devontae Jones will benefit from better players around him, just like Shondi Brown did. Also, I don't mean to sound like I don't appreciate Mike Smith and all he did. He did a fine job. I just think Devontae Jones is a much better player and a big upgrade at the point guard.
Yeah, he definitely gives you more size. The question that I had, and I think that when it comes to getting to the basket, finishing through contact, he'll be more of a factor on the defensive end. The one piece that I questioned was, would he be as good a shooter as Mike Smith was? Not to say that Mike Smith was an elite guy, but you know, there was one year in Devontae Jones's Coastal Carolina career, he shot under 30% from three. He was a 33% three-point shooter while he was there. I think he had one year where in conference play, he shot a pretty decent clip, you know, up there around 37% or so in conference play. But the question was, would he be able to come in here to Michigan and shoot at least in the upper 30s, right? Would he have the kind of growth, spurt, shooting that we saw Shondi Brown have because he got a better quality shot? There were some that questioned that because of his shooting form. Sounds like you, watching him play, you seem to be saying that you think that the Shondi Brown effect will be an effect for Devontae Jones here.
I do, and I can promise you this. At Coastal Carolina, there was never a time in Devontae Jones's career where he had his toes on the line and he was catching his breath and he had his hands and his target up and somebody threw him the ball and he was wide open. It never happened. But when you're playing with court spacers, who are you going to leave to double team Hunter Dickinson? Are you going to leave Caleb Houston? I'm not. Are you leaving Eli Brooks? No. I think that you're going to see a lot of teams maybe digging off of Devontae Jones. And on that kickout, he's going to be standing there measuring the basket and wide open. And Sam, the football effect is going to be significant as well. Coastal Carolina's got a pretty good football team this year. They're undefeated. They actually beat Kansas, which I guess is nothing really to be too excited about. But can you imagine what it's like for him stepping into the big-time environment, walking through Ann Arbor, experiencing tailgates, watching the football game, being in class with some of the players? I think he's going to be so energized by the big-time Big Ten event type of feel that you get in conference play. I think he's going to be really motivated.
All right. So you said, Tim, Eli Brooks. I mean, we were all excited. How about his progression over the course of his career? Who would have thought 4 years ago we would be like, man, oh, God, if they just get Eli Brooks back? You know, but that's where we were, right? So it was such a huge deal that he decided to return. What did you see from him in practice?
Well, I'm glad you remembered and brought him up because he needs to be celebrated. And you talked about when he arrived, you know, would we have ever thought that he would do this? Absolutely not. What a player he's become and what a career. He's smart and he's solid and he's consistent. And you look back at his career, I always like the quote that success leaves footprints. So why is he so good? Well, at the beginning of his career, he started 4 years in high school. He played as a freshman for his dad. And you know he got mentored and pushed hard every day. He had 2,000 career points. At Michigan, two-time captain, graduate student. As a freshman and sophomore, learned how to play his role. He played in almost 70 games as a freshman and a sophomore. I was shocked when I looked at that because I didn't think he had such an important role. Then as a junior and a senior, he started nearly 60 times, and he's going to leave Michigan as the winningest player in program history. And due to you know the COVID rules and the free year that you get, that record will never be broken. And he's going to go down as one of the most decorated players in NCAA history in terms of the number of career games that he's played. He's going to make Devontae Jones' transition really smooth because he can play point guard. He can play two. He's going to be out there a ton of minutes this year. And I also think that he's going to get a lot of open shots. if Eli Brooks is your fourth or fifth option on offense, Sam, that's really, really good. And then also two-time captain. I just love watching the way he takes care of his business. He's loaded with substance.
All right. So when talking about the most improved guy, who's going to take the biggest step forward for Michigan this year? A lot of people say Brandon John. So when you watch Brandon in practice, did you see – it's one practice, I get that. But did you see evidence of that, that he's prepared to take a step this year?
I was really pleased. Brandon Johns came running over to say hello. And as a former player, you know, that made me feel really good. And I've known him for a long time. And it caught my eye because Brandon Johns was the loudest guy in the building. Like he would dunk the ball and he would let out a primal scream. And he grabbed Musa Djibouti and chest bumped him. And Musa had to look like, what in the world are you doing? But as a young player, you don't know any better. I bet Musa never saw that in high school. And Brandon looked awesome. His body is lean. He said he's been working on his perimeter shooting. Feels like he needs to be a lot more consistent with his release. I think he's the starting power forward this year. And the reason I say that is that Musa is so versatile and athletic. He's the perfect guy to come in off the bench as either a four or a five. Let's say, for instance, you started Musa, and I think it's good to have a young guy playing that role and earning minutes. And maybe he's so good that he just takes Brandon John's minutes. But I think that Michigan is in really good shape at the power forward.
Right. I want to sort of break this into parts and talk about the freshmen as a group. So understand that when I ask you about this next player, we are going to be talking about the freshmen. But Zeb, I mean, Zeb Jackson is in an interesting role here, Tim, in that he is a combo. You can put him on the wing. He's long. He's athletic. But he's a guy who's gotten minutes in spots in his career so far. Showed a flash here and there, but he a lot of new talent in the door, challenging him for minutes. So did you see signs of him being able to fend those guys off when you watched him in practice?
Sam, as I mentioned, this was a lot of shooting and a lot of drill work, especially in the screen game. And so as I watched Zeb shoot, I did not think, and I haven't thought all along, that he is a really good shooter. He isn't. He doesn't make shots like I would like to see. But, you know, sometimes you have to learn to appreciate the other things that a guy does. I think Zeb is a really good ball mover. I think he's an excellent defender. He's always going to be better in a transition game. And so if you're watching him just saying, gosh, he doesn't shoot well enough and he's never going to reach his potential, I think that's ignoring all the other things that Zeb is capable of. Somebody is going to have to be in that third, fourth guard role. And I would imagine that because of Zeb's versatility, they don't need him to make a lot of shots. They need his versatility on the perimeter. And right now, I would say, based on just what I would expect and what I've seen, that Kobe Bufkin is probably the furthest along to play that role in terms of Frankie Collins and Barnes. But I would say that I would expect Zeb Jackson to be ahead of all of those freshmen in terms of being able to fill that spot at the backup guard spot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And those freshmen, I think, you know, I've been bullish on Kobe Bufkin, even though, I mean, the highest ranked guys in the class are Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate, and they will play prime roles, I think we both expect, as a freshman. But broad brush your impressions of the class. We will talk specifically about the guys, but this is a top-ranked class, or I think maybe it moved around once Penny got Memphis' class together. But still, one of the top two classes in the country. Did it look like that when you watched them in practice?
It did. And I have to be honest, Sam, the workout was 90 minutes. And I found myself saying, I'm running out of time. I walked away from the practice and I said, darn it. I never watched Frankie Collins. I didn't focus on him. I ran out of time to watch Will Chutter. But I did the best I could. And the one guy that I was mesmerized with is Caleb Houston and the beautiful release on his shot. This class is going to be special, but it's not realistic to think that they're all going to come in as freshmen and be impactful. There's just too many good players ahead of them. If you gauge this class 4 years from now, I think you're going to have multiple guys in the NBA and they're going to compete for Big Ten titles and beyond. The class is really special, but one of the things that I think is a hidden key, sometimes a highly ranked class just comes in and they've got a Fab Five presence where they're going to play because they're way better than the upperclassmen. That's not the case here. These freshmen have the luxury item of being able to learn, and if you're not quite there yet, it's okay, because there are people that are going to show you how to be a pro, how to carry yourself, how to handle your business, how to get up and get to class, how to attack the training table, how to hit the weights hard, how to just become the best you can be. Some of these guys might be ready, but I'd say most of them are going to need a little bit more seasoning.
All right, so Tim, let's do this. Let's save the freshman observations for part two of this podcast that we'll come back and record next week. I got a few other questions that I want to ask you for now. Number one, we had a conversation last time we were together. We had a conversation about Michigan basketball recruiting, how they would close out this class. We were talking about Juwan Traore coming in for a visit this weekend, an official visit with Terrace Reed. Sounds like Michigan is really putting cards on the table saying, we think you two complement one another. We think you two can play together. We want you two to play together. So let's revisit that topic now that it's clear that they are prioritizing him to the hilt, all the way up to number 10 in the country now. Let's revisit the conversation about how you think those pieces could fit together.
I'm going to call him Traore because I just don't even want to mess with it. Okay, Sam, I know you'll call me out if I'm screwing up his name. So let me say this. Traore was at the top 100 camp and we spent time together. I watched him closely. I love his potential. He's physical. He's tough. He plays hard. And part of the reason that you take Reed and Traore is because you love what you've seen from Hunter Dickinson and you love what you've seen from Musa Diabate. Juwan probably feels like, okay, I need another big guy because they're not going to be around very long. And you can go ahead and sell to your high school players, come here because we're going to be a factory that puts guys in the NBA every single year. Also, as the college game has gotten smaller and smaller, what we're seeing are so many teams that are taking that power forward position and making it a glorified big, small forward position. You know, they're playing 6'5", 6'6", guys that can make threes. Michigan's going with the jumbo look. They're putting their big studs out there. We are going to pound people on the glass. We're going to have intimidation defending at the rim. We play fast. They play a system that is what the NBA is looking for at the power forward position. And so I would be really surprised if Traore doesn't give Michigan a really strong look. He seemed like a great fit and actually plays a lot like Musa Diabate. And Sam, I know you don't want to really talk about the freshman until next week. I'm going to tell you right now, I was shocked at how well Musa shoots the ball from three. I did not anticipate that at all. He was making 50% of his shots, and it was a little interesting because he would make five in a row, then miss five in a row. And the misses, though, were more based on footwork and balance. This guy has got a beautiful release, Sam. He's going to be a three-point shooter.
Oh, okay. Tease, Tim. A tease. All right. That's the art of the tease. So people come back next week and listen to the remainder of the practice breakdown focused on the freshman, but last one. So they're bringing in Terrace and Juwan. You two can play together. Juwan can say, look, I know from experience. I played with C-Webb. We were outstanding. And you know what I'm hearing, Tim? I've got to make sure that it's still on, but I'm hearing C-Webb is going to be in town this week.
And oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah, hearing, wow. Hearing C-Webb is going to be in town. And so you have these brothers who were part of history that Juwan can show. He can hold it up as, look at what we were. Look at what we did. We both thrived. We both ate. We both were top five picks. That seems to me to be a hell of a selling point for a guy like Juwan Howard.
Sam, do you think, can you envision this, that at some point this weekend, if Chris Weber's in town, that Chris and Juwan are going to pull up a chair in Juwan's office, and Reed and Treyor are going to be sitting there, and they're going to talk, those four, about what it would be like to play with another elite-level big guy? You know that conversation will happen if C-Webb's in town. I can't believe how any high school player wouldn't just be mesmerized by that conversation.
Yeah, well, as of last week, you know how things change, but as of last week, he was going to be in town. So I'm going to be checking. You want to check us out on MichiganInsider.com to see if that goes down. But this is the last one for you. Speaking of C-Webb, Tim, a guy who wore the uniform like you, was a standout at the University of Michigan like you, first-round draft pick in the NBA like you. But this guy was selected to the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I can only imagine what that's like for him. But I wonder what that's like for you and your brethren to see one of your own with that kind of distinction, that kind of honor that Chris Weber has received.
Well, I'm very proud of Chris, and he's one of my favorite players that has ever worn a Michigan uniform. And he came to Michigan just as I was leaving the NBA. I had a chance to play with him one time. You know, every fall, the NBA players from Michigan would come back and play with the freshman class and the other Michigan players. And I thought, oh my God, Juwan and Chris are already better than me. I'm a seasoned NBA veteran. I can't hang with these guys. And they just, they've represented, you know, themselves so well. They're Michigan guys. I'm glad that time has passed and they're getting the love that they deserve. Every time I've talked to Chris, I just, you know, I love his smile. I love who he is. And I had a huge smile on my face when I had a chance to see him inducted.
Yeah. Yeah. Great honor. And I know Juwan is feeling that too. And boy, if it goes down like it's supposed to, and you got those two young bigs on campus and they see these former Fab Five guys who both thrived, both went on to the NBA to have big time careers. And here Juwan is the head basketball coach at the University of Michigan. And Chris Weber's a Hall of Famer. I just don't know how much more of an advertiser for the University of Michigan you can get than that, Tim. So that'll be big time. Certainly by the time we come back together next week, we will know and we'll be able to reflect upon it. If that indeed goes down, and certainly we will talk about these freshmen. So Musa Diabate, three-point shooter. Caleb Houston, great release. Give me a quick tease, Tim. Not the whole plate, just the tease. Just a quick one-liner. I'm going to say the name. You give me a quick one-liner on some of the other guys. So a quick one-liner on Kobe Bufkin.
He's bigger than I thought. He's long and he's athletic. And from what I saw with his smoothness, I think of all of the secondary recruits, I'm not talking about Musa, not talking about Houston. I think that Bufkin is the guy that can play right away.
All right. Frankie Collins.
The guy that I didn't get a chance to see enough of. I don't think that there's a lot of minutes available for him right now, but I love the fact that every single day he's going head-to-head with Eli Brooks and Devontae Jones, a couple of older college players. They're going to push him and make sure he's growing.
All right, Isaiah Barnes.
Isaiah Barnes is such a huge athlete. It's not even fair that a guy that's that big and athletic also has really good skills, needs to upgrade his jump shot, but the athleticism and the body movement are all there. John Sanderson's going to have a field day with Barnes.
Will Cheddar.
Will Cheddar is going to be a five-year player, and I think that at some point he's going to win a lot of games for Michigan because he's that weak side shooter that's going to get a lot of shots, but he's also got some junk in his game. He's very, very tricky. He's athletic. I think he's going to be a real good find. People are going to be surprised by Cheddar, not this year, but down the road.
All right. Well, folks, we will get deeper into these freshmen coming up next week, part two of Practice Reflections from Tim McCormick. Made it to a University of Michigan basketball practice. So be sure to tune in next week for the next edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.